The RTE Rugby Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the RTE Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. I'm with the British and Irish Lions on tour in New Zealand. And despite being here just over a week, we've already seen two games. The first of them was a scratchy enough win for the visitors over the Provincial Barbarians in Whangarei last Saturday. Eden Park in Auckland was the venue for game two, midweek against the Blues. Former All Black Ian Jones was alongside me in the commentary box.
And it's Dan Biggar who will get this game underway. And the Blues now in control outside the 22. Jack Knowles suckered in and came in off his line. There's a chance here as they look to try and score the corner. Try in the corner. They have done so. It's Rico Ioane who has scored a try for the Blues. And that has come just 6.5 minutes gone. And the Lions now with Reese Webb in a midfield position towards Dan Biggar. Moves it across to Robbie Henshaw towards the far side. Elliot Daly pops it out far side towards Jared Payne. And Jared Payne, well, he's touched it down in the corner across on the far side of the pitch. But there must be, there might be some question as to whether he had a foot in touch or otherwise. And perhaps that's the question that's going to be asked right now. Let's have a listen.
If the player not in touch before. Thank you.
As we look here,
let's
Michael,
have a look at head-on shot here.
TMO decision. You can see it quite clearly.
Jared Payne.
Jared Payne is going.
I think his toes are after touching the line.
The reverse
Pascal.
Angle.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The player was in touch before the ball was grounded. Yeah. So there would be a line out to blue.
Okay.
And the Blues are struggling here.
Leave it now.
And the Lions now charging forward with that one. But again, a good counter movement there by the Blues. But the Lions still on their feet. CJ Stander with the ball under his arms at the moment. Reese Webb there. But CJ Stander almost shunting Reese Webb out of the way. CJ Stander has it now, charging forward with that one. CJ Stander in for the try. Trademark move for the back of the rolling maul. And the Blues have been taken apart by CJ Stander, who scored the first try of the match for the British and Irish line. Just on the stroke of half time, and Perifetta with the kick. Thumps it towards the post. It's after hitting off the post and taken and then knocked on by one of the Blues players. It was batted on there as he tried to gather that one. It's come back off the post.
Maybe knock on before. Yeah. Check if knock on by Blue before.
I think, unfortunately, for Sonny Bill, that ball may very well have been knocked on.
The reaction there from all the players. That may be knocked backwards.
Well.
Oh, and Sonny's hand did get on it. Sonny's hand got on it, there's no question as who knocked the ball on.
That's a Blues hand.
The man with the white.
Wow, it's actually Jack Knowles, the player.
I think it's Jack Knowles' hand who actually whacked it.
Yes.
Here we go.
The ball was...
I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
All right, the ball was knocked backwards by a red player into in-goal. And then was grounded by Blue, so you may award the try.
Yeah, captain.
On the stroke of half time, Sonny Bill Williams. But the Lions trying to put pressure on the Blues as the ball is swept back to Stephen Luatua for me. Oh, that's a great offload towards Sonny Bill Williams. Sonny Bill now racing towards the 22 and it's swept inside. Ehi West has it, races inside the 22 minute line, goes for the line, scorches in for the try under the post. Ehi West has absolutely lifted Eden Park to a high decibel and it is the Blues who've grabbed the initiative. What a scorching try, what a great score, what a great run by Sonny Bill Williams.
Remember, and a conversion from that man, Ehi West, successful. 22 points to 16 with 5 minutes to play.
Is there one final throw of the dice? 40 seconds remaining.
Plenty of time.
They have the chance here as Sexton gathers that one, kicks it into touch, and a line-out throw for the line, 7 metres short of the line.
Oh, bad throw.
And it's gone and taken by Cara Pryor towards the tail end of it. All they've got to do is kick this one out. The Blues gather that one. They've taken it and kicked it. It's gone behind and into touch. The referee's whistle has gone. And the British and Irish Lions, well, they'll be cursing that final line-out throw inside the 22-metre line. The Blues have held on and have won by 22 points to 16.
Yeah, and it's disappointing, really, because I think it was a big step up and I thought we played well for large parts of the match. And so, we need to take some learning out of that. And for us, we've given away a lot of penalties in the game. The first two games, 29 penalties. It's too much. It's too many at this level. So we're looking to cut the number of penalties down, because that really shifted the momentum a lot of times in the game when we had them under pressure, and then to give away a few unnecessary penalties from where I was looking from. We're just going to get a few in the game. But that for me is an area that needs to tighten up on, and if we can do that, I think it's going to make a big difference to us. We knew how tough New Zealand was going to be in terms of the games and the quality of opposition that we're playing. But if I look at it from that point of view, I think it's going to be, these games leading to the first test, it's going to be great preparation for us. If I look back into 2013, we played the Barbarians and won 70 points or whatever. The next game, 60 points against the Western Force. And that's not preparation for, preparing for a test, but these next few weeks is going to be great preparation. And I honestly don't believe there's going to be a huge amount of difference because there's so much depth in this country, a huge amount of difference between the Super Rugby sides we play and when we come up against the All Blacks. There obviously will be a step up, but not a massive step up because, the quality of players and teams that you do come up against here.
I know you're going to concentrate on what you're trying to do, Warren, but that was a really good step up in terms of intensity.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought we started well and a little bit unlucky with Jared Payne try not being allowed. It was a disappointment that try in half-time, I still look at it and I'm thinking, that decision could have gone either way. And, that was disappointing to sort of go in at half-time being down where we've sort of got back into the game and played pretty well. Lots of aspects. I thought generally our set piece was excellent. We scrummaged well. We had two lineouts where we had a not straight, and obviously the very last line of the game where there's been a little bit of miscommunication. So, and the more time that we are together, those areas of our game will improve. But generally, I thought there were times there where defensively we've come hard off our line, put them under pressure, stop the offloading offloading game, but it's one magical moment where you lose a little bit of concentration, they get some hands free, and you saw with the Ohio West try what they're capable of doing. So we've got to be just conscious of that and keep working hard and keep improving. I thought the energy levels were pretty good, and it was good. It was a game that we felt that we've let slip, given an opportunity to particularly when we've got in front. And like I said, I think there's a big learning curve from tonight, and we will get better from that.
With Ken Owens, disappointing to lose the game.
We are here to win, and at the end of the day, we haven't done that. I'm bitterly disappointed. I thought there was positives in the game, but probably our discipline let us down at times, and a couple of too many unforced errors.
Late in each half was the killer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I think that's what we're going to have to learn down here. It's only one opportunity this New Zealand side needs, and they're pretty clinical. I thought in the physicality stakes, the set piece, we were there. We were right on the money. Probably gave them a bit too much field position with our error, which cost us in the end.
A much better and much more improved performance from last week in terms of even the energy level.
Yeah, I thought we were, there was plenty of energy. We were off our line in defence. There were plenty of energy to get back in the position, which was a step up. We're going in the right direction, but we want to be winning games and to build that momentum. We still got 2-3 weeks before the test matches, but we've got another test on Saturday, and we're going to have to bounce back pretty quick to get our momentum back.
Some place to play rugby, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. This is what you dream of as a youngster, is to come and play in the best stadiums in the world, and we've done it, but it's always better to get a result.
I think we left it out there now. I think we gave them easy outs with penalties when we got into the 22. I think if you come down here and expect to win a game by giving away more than 10 penalties, you're going to struggle, and exactly what happened. They scored a great try at the end, and just shows the calibre of a team there. It's something we can take on to the next few weeks. It's something we probably not used to at where we play now, but something to learn and take into Saturday. I think the forwards and the back line mixed quite well, and we worked hard as a forward pack to get over the gain line and look after the ball. I think, as I said, we give few penalties away in line-out time and a few times not looking after the ball. But I think when we got stuck into them, it shows our character, you know, and we work hard for it. So, look, it's a positive we can take into the next few games and just build on that. Yeah, I think especially, I think it was 40,000 up there, you know, it's quite a big crowd and just shows that people, it's in their culture, you know, and they enjoy the game, and it's great to see everyone come out and support a game like this. You know, I think we all love the game and it's good to see the support, you know, from the supporters, and they were alive tonight and you could hear them. They could have easily gone away in the rain, they didn't, they stayed. So I think it helped the Blues a lot. We're only two games in now, you know, still a lot of games to go, and we're still learning each other, so there's a lot of negatives out of tonight, but I think we're a great squad and a great group of lads, and I think we work hard towards the end goal, and look, there's a few hurdles here and there, but it's the ones we step over and learn from it, you know.
Well, that was the highlights from game two of the tour and the aftermatch thoughts of Warren Gatland, Ken Owens and CJ Stander. Waitangi was the venue last Sunday for the official welcome to New Zealand for the Lions squad. More than 400 warriors, both male and female, welcomed the British and Irish Lions squad to the Waitangi Treaty Grounds for a spectacular pot-pourri. The welcome acknowledged the arrival to New Zealand of the Lions as part of the team's 6 weeks tour, which takes in seven regions. During the welcome, the British and Irish Lions received three challenges. The first one was a private challenge for the squad. After that first challenge, the Lions made their way to the top of the treaty grounds in front of more than 4,000 fans and 400 warriors who they faced and were ready for that second challenge. The third and last challenge was in front of the treaty house. This was followed by ceremonial speeches from Maori representatives and the Lions players from the four countries, Scotland, Wales, England and Ireland, and amongst them was Robbie Henshaw.
We wish Scotland. It's Mr. Robert, of Tommy McConey, near the Sinair. Tommy, I'm showing you the contrast scale that there's some fur in the Leon, obviously there's some fur in the Heron. Well, no more over here, all in, or this tear out, ye on New Zealand. So, all's and down are in a bet on you. They're a meal of Mahagut. They're a meal of Mahagut. One, two, three.
Songs is so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Lonely the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
This is my third occasion I've been to New Zealand, and I've had a few official welcomes, but that was like nothing I've experienced before. It was fantastic, and I think all the players have come out of there and they've realised that that's going to be one of the, probably one of the best experiences they would have experienced outside of their rugby careers. You know, that was absolutely fantastic, and we really appreciate that. You know, it's nice and it feels very welcoming to be here in New Zealand. As players, you don't get to experience things like this ever unless you come to a place like this, and it's absolutely beautiful here as well. I remember opening my curtain to the bedroom this morning, and the setting's absolutely perfect. So this is definitely, for me, one of the best experiences I've had for my rugby career, a very special moment.
So we've made it to Christchurch, and there really is a sense that the tour has kind of gone up certainly a notch. Andrew from TalkSport is here with me. We're both doing the same job, you to the UK, me to Ireland, and there certainly is a sense that the kind of first week of the tour is over, but we're in serious rugby country today.
Yeah, absolutely. We've definitely gone up a couple of notches here. You know, the Blues was tough enough, and they're supposedly the weakest of the five New Zealand franchises. We're now going up against the best of them. I've got a funny feeling this week is going to tell us an awful lot about this Lions Tour 2017.
And when you look at the day that has already kind of passed us by here, we've a Maori team, we've got an all-black squad, we've got the Crusaders team for Saturday, and then you lob in the Lions on top of that. But just look at the New Zealand element for a second. I mean, there's a serious amount of talent in this country.
Oh, it's absolutely insane, isn't it? I mean, Steve Hansen has picked the All Black squad. He's also had a hand in the Maori squad, and he's arguably made the next two or three games more difficult because he's allowed some of the All Black fringe players to go back to the Highlanders as well. I mean, this is not going to get any easier. I read a couple of things saying that actually this is going to be the toughest game for a little while. Well, all of a sudden the Highlanders got more difficult. The Maori is often called the fourth test. I'm not sure which is the fourth test on this tour because every one of them is a test match now.
I have bad news for you. In my head, I'm trying to do the math pretty quickly. I wasn't really good at it in school. I think there's probably eight more tests. That's effectively what's going to happen, isn't it?
I think you're absolutely right. This is such a step up from 2013, where they were able to try some combinations out, work some things out. There's been so little time for this. And I think maybe the Blues game might have even caught them out a little bit. The Blues have picked up so much in recent weeks. They started the season terribly, but they've actually found form. And as a result now, they've got the New Zealand media up and running. I mean, the newspapers are full of, well, the Lions are rubbish. Is this the best they've got? You know, they've only scored two tries in two games so far. How are they going to beat the All Blacks? That might be the biggest problem. They've actually got the home lot up and running by the way that they haven't actually been able to gel so far.
And one of the common questions that's certainly thrown at me when people hear my accent is, you know, are the British and Irish Lions, are they going to improve, or is this as good as they're going to be?
Well, we got people asking that at home as well. This is absolutely it. They're going to have to find, I think, maybe three gears. I think at the moment that they really do need to go up a serious level. For me, the concern is the backs. And Warren Gatland's touched on it a couple of times. Think back to Whangarei, 2-on-1, blown. Early stages of the Auckland Blues game, 4-on-3, blown. Now that's pretty basic stuff, you know, that's schoolboy kind of level stuff here. If they can't address that and quickly, then you really do start getting a little bit of concern. So, you know, with all this chaos talk and all this, you know, whatever, you still got to do the basics. And at the moment, they're a little bit hit and miss with some of the basics, and that's got to be a concern.
And we've seen in the two matches that have been played to date, the Lions have done really well up front. But that's a 1-8 scenario. Here in this country, they play rugby from 1-15. I mean, there's no point dominating up front if that's not going to be translated to what's going to happen on the scoreboard.
Yeah, absolutely. And the forwards don't want to be looking up, having had 5, 6, 7 phases, having flogged their bodies to ensure you get quick ball, to turn around and gone, you did what with it? Exactly. You worked so hard, you have got to play. You've got to play around here. 3 tries is the minimum requirement, it seems, in most games. And when you look at the Crusaders, they don't stop at 3. They go 4, 5, 6, and in some cases 7 and 8. You know, Andy Farrell's defensive system is going to get a heck of a workout, but Robert Howley's attacking system is the one I think everyone is really looking at.
So massive pressure on everybody, on and off the pitch, in terms of the coaches. They're under a lot of scrutiny. In terms of the players now, as Warren said, you know, might get one, certainly will get 2 chances, but when you got that chance, you got to take it. And when you consider that this weekend is game 3, they're coming, you know, that the opportunities are kind of pretty thin on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that Johnny Sexton is actually going the other way. He seems to be getting more chance because, of course, Dan Biggers picks up this HIA. You know, Johnny at the moment can't get a rest. So you've got some guys who are chomping at the bit trying to get game time. I'm sure Johnny would love to sit down and actually have a bit of a break. It's a real balancing act, but you're absolutely right. When you get a chance on this tour, you do have to take it. And then you probably need your mate next to you. You know, if you're a second row, you need the guy next to you to perform because they work as partnerships. Centres work as partnerships. You know, Ben Teo was great up in Whangarei, but do you sort of have a little question mark next to that to say, well, it was only the Provincial Barbarians. Do you therefore give Robbie Henshaw's performance against the Blues a bit of an added weight? And this is what the coaches now have to be thinking and working on.
So as part of the media, are we all trying to work out perhaps what the test team may be, and are we looking at a scenario, say even this weekend, where everybody's kind of gone, well, if Conor Murray plays well alongside Owen Farrell and Ben Teo plays alongside Jonathan Davis and they play well, could that be the crux of 9, 10, 12, 13 result?
I think that there will be some very strong pointers. Warren said in the past that the Maori game has to be close to the test team, but I think we're getting pointers. The fact that Murray and Farrell are the final halfbacks to get the outing, and they knew the fixture list. You know, that's not by accident, although obviously you had the Premiership and the Pro 12 finals to bear in mind, but I think that probably would have been the case anyway. I think there's an element that Teo and Jonathan Davis might have dropped into their laps a little bit, but I've got to be honest, I'm really excited in seeing how that works. But we've got to be close to be thinking about tests now. You know, they've gone through the rotation. Everyone was going to get a go in get a start in the first 41. After today, I think we get a real window into the coaches' world. You know, Warren Gatland saying he asked one of the coaches today to pick their test team and he couldn't. I'm not strictly sure about that. I think they've got to be edging towards things, because after today, selection becomes a lot freer. You're not obliged to pick anyone because everyone gets to go in the first 3. Then I think we get a much clearer idea.
It was interesting that Warren even made that point, that he's already even thinking in terms of the of test selection a couple of weeks down the road as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is the planning. You don't... And also, do you want to be underdone going into the first test? You know, you don't want to have flogged the players. It's a real fine balancing act. And of course, as we know, I'm still slightly surprised. We've got 3 games, or 2.5, nearly the third game into the tour. We haven't lost anyone to injury yet. You know, that was the absolute nailed on one. Someone was going to go down with injury. Jared Payne has got to be a bit of a concern with this calf problem of his. That what was it? Warren Gatland said he's got the skinniest calves in world rugby. So that's got to be a concern. But look, it's going to happen, and that means someone's going to have to be getting on a plane and getting up to speed really sharpish, because it's the big games are getting ever closer.
Andrew, we're going to leave it there. Listen, thanks indeed for joining us. That's about all we have time for from the RT Rugby Podcast from Christchurch. I tell you what, the temperature certainly has dropped since we've come from the North Island to the South Island. But if anything, the temperature will be increasing at Amy Stadium on Saturday. And you can catch the game live on RT Radio Extra on Saturday morning. From Christchurch, goodbye and thanks for listening.
The RT Rugby Podcast.